see, and don't listen aloud. Take me further, take me deeper into you. Wanna live in that place inside of you forever, hidden from this world. Inside of you, God, forever hidden from this world, for inside your realms of glory is all I'll ever need. My Yeshua, beloved King. So, you don't know this song because it's a Holy Ghost song, right? But it's a prayer. Take me higher. Take me further and take me deeper into you.
Into you.
Wanna live in that place inside of you, forever hidden from this world. For inside your realms of glory is all I'll ever need. Yeshua, beloved King. My Yeshua, beloved King. My Yeshua, beloved King. Oh Jesus, take us deeper into the presence of God. Those that have fear of going deep inside, God, we just break that fear off. There's nowhere more wonderful. Inside of God, that's where your real home is, and you'll never feel more at home than when you come into Him.
I was broken when you found me. You didn't question anything. You just healed me. So amazing, and you give to me amazing grace. I was broken when you found me. You didn't question anything, you just healed me.
He doesn't question, isn't that amazing?
You're amazing. So amazing, and you give to me amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
your eyes and go into Him. Don't look at me. Don't say, why is her voice cracking? It's because she hasn't sung in a while. Just go into Him.
I was broken when you found me. You didn't question anything. You just healed me. You're amazing. So amazing. And you give to me. Question anything, you just healed me.
You said you came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. Lord, I see you touching hearts and unhooking. I see his finger just unhooking little hooks. He's unhooking your heart. There's someone here, your heart, it's like it was tied, you know, to things of the earth, relationships, things that went bad, things that didn't work, businesses that failed, and your heart got tied to it. But you know, listen, whatever you lose in this earth, Jesus gives you better. Jesus always gives you better. That you're called to be a part of the bride. You know that the bride is called to great intimacy. You know, there's things a husband shares with his wife that he doesn't tell anyone. You know that you're called to be the confidant of the Lord Jesus. You're called to go away with him in the bridal chamber. Some of you never knew my husband, but when Edgar was calling me from California saying he was going to come and marry me, and I was saying, no, you're not. The Lord told me to spend 30 days in the bridal chamber with him alone, not Edgar, with Jesus. Spent 30 days and just went away with God. I didn't go away. I was actually in my home. But I broke every other engagement or appointment. You'll never be the same again. And you may go, well, I'm kind of scared to do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, you don't. Nobody does. None of us do. But as you go in, he teaches you. Teaches you. wants to take you away with him. And you might not have 30 days, but some of you need at least 3. You need to check out of the world system. Check out, go somewhere. And we talk a lot about being with God, but our lives move too fast, don't they? It's very easy to get too busy and very hard to get unbusy. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot do the things you were born to do without spending time in the womb of God. Yes, God has a womb. So many people start a ministry and they say, I'm called to do this and so, and they never enter the womb of God to get the stuff. So they don't have enough juice. They don't have power. And they don't have truth. But there's one place to get it. See, the bridal thing, it's not... Paul was describing man and his wife because he wanted to describe a place of such intimacy. Where do you think ministries are birthed? Not at Bible school. God wants to take you. Stop running away from God. And I know I'm not talking to everybody, but most people have a very distant handshake relationship with God, and the relationship has become asking him for things and hoping he'll do it. And if he does it, we give a testimony. But there's something more. Much, much more. Much, much deeper. Come away with me. Come away, he says. You won't be able to do it all day, every day. Everybody's got a work they have to do, even ministers. But make time to come away with him, even if you're scared to do it. Even if you show up and say, I have no idea how to do this, God. I don't know what I'm doing. You will never be the same. And in fact, you'll want to do it again and again throughout the course of your life, because in that place, you will find out who you are in God. You'll find out things about your life you could never find out in the flesh. Nobody can prophesy it to you. And if they do, you wouldn't get it, because you've got to have heard it in the womb of God first. You were called to birth something in the earth. Everyone's different. What you will birth is different than what I will birth. And yes, I'm talking to all the men too. Imagine Paul. Remember, he said, I travail and labor again until Christ is formed in you. He understood birthing. He understood the womb of God. Paul, listen, next to Jesus, it was pretty much Paul that birthed the church. I mean, the disciples carried the message and they spread the gospel, and thank you, Lord. But if it had not been for Paul, where would we have the documentation? There wouldn't be enough of it, would there? He had the revelation because he'd spent all those years up in heaven, right? And many years with God before he went on the road. We have it backwards. You know why? We have an ego. Oh, man. We have this ego that says, I want to be used to God. I want to be the one. I want to be the one that's anointed, healing the sick. Hallelujah. best thing you can do for yourself is take your ego out back and stab it to death. The reason Paul was so mightily used is he truly had gotten to a place where he cared more about the glory of God than his own deal. Can we crucify ourselves enough to say, it really is for the glory of God and not my deal? Can we say, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me? And if people love me, yay. And if they don't love me, yay. And if they hate my guts, yay. And if they kill me for it, yay. Can we come to that place? See, if we die to self, what did he say? If you do by the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, that means kill them. Kill them. Oh, we don't like that gospel. You know what the gospel a lot of people hear is? The princess. We call it the princess gospel. A princess grows up and they're kind of spoiled and they've had everything done for them their whole life. And all they have to do is wave their little hand and everything is done for them. But you know, the real gospel is about soldiers. And in the days to come, we will need to be more soldiers than princesses. Princesses fall apart if, you know, difficulty comes. But we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, aren't we? Say, I don't like that message. Then you came to the wrong ministry. Because you see, we actually believe this stuff. And we believe it so much that we put our lives out there because this is the gospel message. I didn't mean to preach from the keyboard, but I feel like God wants me to say these matters. Think about Paul. Think about every town he went to. He got beat up, left for dead. 39 lashes, 5 times over. You know why they gave you 39? Because 40 would kill you. Left for dead, shipwrecked. And he would just get up and go again. He wouldn't stop and go take some bed. He'd just get up and go again. Think about it. Then they'd stick him in the jail and he'd say, well, I can't preach, but I can write. I'll write. I'll tell them about it by writing. Then they'd say, well, we'll stop you from writing, Paul. We'll put you in the stocks. We'll put your hands and feet in the stocks. He'd say, well, then I can sing praises, hallelujah. Are we there yet? Come on. You say, well, that's a hard message. But I tell you what, it is the greatest joy. Because when times come that are hard, when you're in the center of God, you're in the safety zone. Safety zone is in him. People say, well, should I, you know, store food? Should I move here or there? Do this or that? Well, if he leads you to, yes. And if he leads you not to, no. But the safety is when you have developed a relationship that you are in him. In the womb of God, birthing what he wants into the earth. Listen, your citizenship is in heaven. God's trying to bring us up higher as a body. He's trying to bring us to a place where it's the new normal, where we are heavenly citizens, where we're used to the air of heaven. It's not strange to us, it's normal. Take us in, Lord. Take us in. I know there's there's people here, you're really smart, you've got head knowledge, you know stuff, you know a lot of stuff. But God wants to show you things that are beyond what human brains can understand. There are some things in heaven, mostly all, that are beyond human comprehension. And he wants to take you into place and give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It behooves you to make friends with the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you the wisdom from on high. He wants to make you wise. So even when your head would say, oh, I don't know if I should do that, inside something goes, turn left, go here, stop there. And he wants you to become so adept at knowing the moves of God that you're in him all the time. Because nothing can harm you there. Someone clutching the things of the earth like God's pulling them into the presence and they're just hanging on for dear life not to be pulled in. You say you want it, but you're so tied to, this is not everybody, okay? I'm not rebuking you. Well, I'm rebuking one of you. Only rebuking one of you. I rebuke you. And no, I'm just kidding. And God's just saying, honey, don't you know that all I have for you is good? You're afraid of me, but it's not the correct fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is wonderful. It's not being afraid I'm going to deck you or I'm not happy with you. When I bring you into my presence, it's to teach you and show you and open your eyes to the realms of God. Don't you know I want to take you on a tour of my world? Because guess what? It's your world. But how will you minister to others if you do not know it? If you have not walked where I walk, if you have not seen the temple, how will you describe my presence? If you have not encountered my glory, how can you bring others into it? There's so much parroting going on. People hear about it from someone who was there. And then they talk about it, and then someone else talks about that, and they get all the cliches down, and they've learned how to say it, hallelujah, at a certain time in their voice, and people mistake that for the anointing because they don't know the difference. Well, this is a little tougher than I thought it would be. Yeah. But the body of Christ has, listen, people don't know the difference anymore between hyped emotion and true presence. That will not work in times to come, because trust me when I tell you, if things happen, things are happening, that parroting won't help you, the cliches won't help you, and the great tone of voice won't help you. What will help you is knowing how to live in him and with him and knowing him intimately. In the middle of the day, sometimes in the evening, I find I sleep away to the dark side of the mountain, and there I hide from the world. I still my soul and quiet my heart. I sink deep down into his rest, into his like he's saying, find that place where you are one with me. He is saying. You know, people talk all kinds of stuff about unity. That's where the unity is to be found. When each of us come into him, then it won't matter what the differences are. We won't even see them because we'll be unified in the Spirit. It's not this fake thing. The unity is the unity of the Spirit.
In the middle of the day, sometimes in the evening, I find my way to the secret place. I slip away to the dark side of the mountain, and there I hide from the world. From the world.
He's calling you. And in case you wonder about becoming one with him, the Bible says he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Think about that. So does it do for you constantly to remain earthbound? Does it do for your spirit to be so absorbed in soulish stuff and earthly stuff and how things went at whatever meeting? Or does it do for your spirit man to be absorbed in him? God is calling us higher. Some of you have prayed for victory in days to come. Very wise. Very wise. This is the victory. This is it. It's becoming so close to the Father. Yeshua. Yeshua. See, there's a place in God he's calling us to. You know, Yeshua did it. That's where he lived, right?
Yeah.
Some people call it by location, you know. You call it what you want, but his body was here. But he was very well functioning in the realm of the Spirit. Spirit's a real place. Heaven, you know, when we say in the Spirit, we're really talking about heaven. Heavenly.
Yes.
It's a place. And it's a place where when you were born again, listen, your body is comfortable here because you were born here. Is that right? You were born as a baby and you had to, you know, if you ever watch a baby, they can't focus at first. You know, they can't see your, they can't look at your, most babies wouldn't be able to look right at your eyes and go, oh, hi, mom. You know, they haven't developed that focus, have they? They're still developing. They're kind of flaily and messy and they don't move well yet, do they? But over time, your parents help you to learn words and eat and drink and focus. You focus your eyes and you start to be able to see further. And you learned how to operate in this earth realm. You learned the systems. You learned what works and what doesn't. You learned what makes people mad, what offends them. Oh, I won't do that anymore. Not to get in your underwear drawer, but there's people in here that your life was so hard and people were so mean and they said such mean things that you had to develop an identity to live in. You had to develop a persona that wouldn't get clobbered, right? And that's actually, I actually believe God allows children to do that to as a survival technique. I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, some kids would not survive if they didn't do certain things. Do you know, we're really trying to get to the announcements, but I have to say what he's given me to say. Do you know that that's where fragmentation comes from, people, multiple personalities? You know, when I was young and didn't know better, I thought, well, is that just demons? You know, what is that? Well, what it is that someone lives through too much. Some people, some children see things no child should ever see. And they are made to do things no child should ever even know about. And so how does a child survive that? They make up a world to live in that's safe. And all kids, I actually think all kids do it. You know, we all make up a world where we're the hero or, you know, right? When you're a kid, you fantasize about great things, right? And that's pretty normal. But children who are really in a bad situation will actually make up personalities to become. Like, if they feel weak, they'll make up a person that, you know, when I'm this person, I'm a hero, I'm strong. Nobody can overcome me. And when I'm this person, I'm smart, and they actually make up a safe place. But you know that many people with only one personality, it's still not their personality. I'm talking to somebody here. And you had to do it to protect your life and your heart. I get it. But at some point in God, that becomes a hindrance because now you can't fully connect with the glory because there's this cage, this persona, this pretend thing, this mask. And it takes a lot of guts. But I'll never forget when God showed me I had a mask and I didn't even know I had a mask. Right? We do what gets us through. We let people see the us that's acceptable so we don't get clobbered. Right? And I'm not saying everyone does it, but I sure know I did. And when God began to reveal it to me, I was shocked. And I realized it wasn't of God. And that for me to continue, it was okay that it happened. It got me through very tough times, right? Very tough. It got me through. But one of the things I saw was it's not fair to God for me not to allow him and the people I connect with to meet the real me, because then I'm living a lie. And so I went before the Lord and I repented of that mask and I took it off. And I said, this is it. What you see is what you get. Faults and all. Hallelujah. But it was a part of my journey to wholeness to make the decision to say, that is not who I am. And I'm going to stop pretending to be that person for safety. Because it wasn't safe anyway. It was just a lie is what it was. Now, I didn't think we were going to do this, but I really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you're here and you have developed a persona that's acceptable or protects your heart or protects your life, I'm seeing a picture of someone that's always been the strong one. I have it together. And kind of you do. But in public, there's this, I have to be strong. I have to be seen as I'm in the know. I'm the smart one. I've got it together. I'm the leader. And God is saying, I'm not saying you're not a leader. He's saying, but you can't be the kind of leader I called you to be with that fake persona. I have something much bigger. I have something much more anointed. You have walked in some anointing. You have walked in a lot of truth. You have done good works. You've done many great things. But what I have for you so far exceeds it. And I see him holding out his hand, palm upward. He will never make you deal with your stuff. Do you know that? He will never make you. You can remain bound as long as you want. God always God made us sovereign entities because he didn't want people to have to come to him, to have to repent. Have to repent is not really repenting, is it? Have to give up the lie, that's not really repenting. But palm up gently and fully loving you with all his heart, he's saying to 1, 2, 4, 7, 12 people, will you give me that mask? Will you let go of being, this part isn't to everybody, but superior, or I have it together, or I'm the one in the know. Will you let go of being that one and let me truly make you that one? Will you trust me that my anointing through you is many times greater than what you're now doing? Can you trust me that the move of God flowing through you is far more powerful than appearing to have it together and knowing some scriptures? Can you trust me that I desire to use you far more than you desire to be used? And can you trust me that I know what I'm doing, he says. I know how to take somebody that's not able and make them able. I know how to take somebody that doesn't have words. Moses couldn't put words together and he knew it. But I knew how to speak. I've never had a problem speaking, says the Lord. I've never had a problem pronouncing the glory. I've never had a problem breathing through a human that's not worthy in their outward appearance. I've never had a problem using the unusable. I've never had a problem teaching through people who can't teach. I'm an expert at it. Can you trust me enough to say, I will let that go? I will let go of my mask. And I know this isn't everybody, so just bear with us. I will let go of the pretense. I will let go of always having it together. And I will allow myself to be vulnerable and just be who I am, who I really am. Because the real you, you know, will the real you please stand up? That's the saying we like to say. When the real you stands up, the glory of God will stand up. Because the real you is not the flesh that we look at when we see you. It's not the body we hug when we hug you. The real you is your spirit man, perfect in every way, made after the image of God, full of holiness and glory and the love of God and the compassion of Jesus. That you is awesome. But we can't meet that you if you're covering it up with a fake you. And I love you enough to say it. I love you enough to say, please, let me encounter the real you, not all that fal-de-rol. There's people in here, you've actually functioned in ministry and you want to be seen as a minister, and I love you enough to say this. You're not having much of an impact. This isn't everybody, okay? Don't think I'm yelling at you. But you need to have some real power. Boy, I really want to preach, but I'm not going to do it. When you see the real glory, when you see someone moving in the real fire. Lori said one time Edgar was coming down the prayer line praying for people, and all she could see was a blindingly bright light. She couldn't see him. You know why? He was moving in the spirit, and she saw his spirit man. And he'd had many encounters with Jesus, and you can't have those and not become bright. You can't have those and not shift into another dimension. It's not... Listen, we need knowledge. We need knowledge. But knowledge doesn't get it. Relationship gets it. And a pretend identity, and especially if you're still pretending with God, will block you. Listen, it's like a shield over your heart, so the connection that needs to happen can't happen. You're asking for fire, but you have a shield up. You're saying, oh God, give me the fire. And he's blasting the fire, and it's bouncing off your shield. You are your own worst enemy. Pitch the shield. And you know what? It takes trust. It takes you saying, Lord, I trust you. You know what I feel like? If the fire kills me, and go ahead on. Hallelujah. Then I'll be with the Lord. I want him, you know, burn me alive. Hallelujah. With the glory of God. Because I've seen enough of it to know it gives life. It changes everything. It brings resurrection power. And if you ever encounter the real stuff, you are hooked for life, and no more will you be satisfied with pretend or going through the motions or just hoping, gee, I hope, you know, I kind of hope for it. So we'll just, you know, make like it's here. No. Listen, let the glory take hold of your heart. The desire for him to become so great that you really don't care. Listen, it's just like the old song, the things of his... this earth will grow strangely dim. You get to where you just don't give a hang. You just don't care. You don't care about any of this stuff. People come and... I remember one time we had a... I was standing in the kitchen and I hear a flood, and I mean a flood. And my basement was flooding, and there was stuff pouring. I don't mean a little. It was like Niagara Falls in my basement. You know what? I don't care. Right? Because I'm living in a different place. That's not my house. That's not my home. I have another home that will never have a problem. See, he wants to bring you into him. He wants to bring you into a place where the things of this world really don't affect you, whether people think well of you. That should become so dim you don't give a hang what they think of you. Listen, they didn't like Jesus very well, did they? A lot of people hated him without a cause. They didn't think well of him. Picked up stones to throw at him. He wasn't moved. Did you ever notice that about him? He was never moved. He just kept right on going. He had a mission. He was going to do his thing. He had a purpose for being here, and he knew his purpose because he'd lived inside of God. You hear me? You are called... And don't say, well, I'm not called to public ministry. No, but you are called to a ministry. It may be a ministry of prayer. It may be a ministry of writing. It may be a ministry of YouTube. It may be a ministry of building videos. We don't know. But whatever it is, go into him. Go into the womb of God and birth your purpose in God. Because don't you want to come home and bring him something? Don't you want to come with a gift? What can you give God? He's got everything. There's one thing God doesn't have. People. The cry of his heart is people. What can you give God? People. Birth what it is. Find out what it is. Who are you and what you're here to do? There's only one person that can tell you that. Nobody can prophesy that over you, and they shouldn't, unless you already know it and they're just confirming. This is something you get from him. And don't let him rest. Listen, make up your mind. I'm not going to let him rest until I understand. I'm not going to let him rest. I am not going to let go of the horns of the altar. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I'm going to come here, and I'm going to come tomorrow, and I'm going to come the next day, I'm going to come the day after that. I'm going to keep bugging you, God. I'm going to wear out the carpet on the way into the Holy of Holies until I've got something of you that I know I've got. And then I'm going to keep coming after that until it glows in the dark. And I'm going to keep coming after that until it starts pouring out of my mouth. And I'm going to keep coming after that until it does something to the body or it does something to the lost. Don't quit. Don't be satisfied. Don't quit so easily. Stop quitting so easily. Little things happen and we want to quit. No, you just keep pressing. Listen, what God...
So we're gonna receive an offering. Before we do that, I want to share something with you. And before we do that, in this early part of this service where we were just kind of soaking and Holly was worshiping and inviting us to enter in, I had something happen to me that's never happened before. I saw a picture of me playing catch with Jesus. I mean, I'm a baseball guy, and this was a scene for me that was right out of Field of Dreams. In the end of the movie, the dad and the son are playing catch. And so it was really funny. I'm playing catch with Jesus, and every ball I threw was like an arrow. It was like 90 miles an hour, and it hit the mark. And now here's something that's really funny. So then I kind of end there, right? Because I have to go to the bathroom. I come back, and I want to go back to the same situation. So I go back to the same situation. This time, he's hitting me grounders with a fungo bat. And I'm fielding grounders. Now, I'm fielding grounders like a super shortstop. Like I'm fluid. There's nothing that can get by me. And Jesus is like smiling and laughing. I've never experienced anything like this. And this came from just being here. This is what Jesus wants to do with everybody. Okay? So, it was just like a showstopper. So, anyway. Now, let me go on to say that what I do is every morning I sit with Jesus and sometimes I talk to him, sometimes he talks to me, and every now and then I'll sit and he'll give me a topic, and when he gives me a topic, I stay on it and I follow it. Well, he gave me a topic, and this is one I want to share with you, and I think it has some impact. It's a story out of the Bible, and it's found in 1 Chronicles 21. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to explain what Jesus was explaining to me, and then I'll go on from there. But it starts in verse 1, in chapter 1, First Chronicles. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the population of Israel. So David said to Joab and the leaders of the people, "Go count Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring me their total so that I may know it." Joab said, "May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are now. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this? Why will he bring guilt on Israel?" But the king's word prevailed over Joab. Now God was displeased with the act of arrogance and pride, and he struck Israel. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech you, take away the wickedness and the guilt of your servant, for I have acted foolishly." Moving ahead of a couple of verses, so the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men died. God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. He was going to destroy Jerusalem for David's pride. And as he was destroying it, the Lord looked and relented concerning the catastrophe and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough. Now remove your hand of judgment." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Oran the Jebusite. The story goes on that David was led to worship and provide an offering to the Lord to break this disaster that was happening. So he finds the gentleman that owns this threshing floor. And so David went up, according to Gad's word, and he spoke in the name of the Lord. Now Oren was thrashing wheat, and he turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons were with him, hid themselves. As David came to Oren, Oren looked and saw him, and went out from the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Oren, "Give me the site of this threshing floor so that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall charge me the full price of it so that the plague may be averted from the people." Oren said to David, "Take it for yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. See, I will give you the oxen, also the burnt offerings and the thrashing sleds for wood and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all." But David said to Oren, "No, I will certainly pay the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer a burnt offering which costs me nothing." So then when David did this, the plague was averted. Now, let's bring this into perspective. David paid 600 shekels of gold for the threshing floor and the ox. That equates to $432,000 today, in today's currency. Now, don't think for a moment that it was the amount of that offering that moved the Lord's heart. Because there was the widow with two mites, and I don't know if you know the value of two mites. Two mites equates to 8 cents. So each mite was 4 cents. And she threw that in the offering, and Jesus made a note of that. He stopped everybody and said, "Look what that woman just did, because she gave it all." So the point of this message to me and what I want to share with you was that when something, we give something to the Lord that costs us something, that moves his heart. And I believe we are in days where we really could use all the help we can get. The world system is going to fall apart and break, and Jesus said so, right? So I think that the Lord is taking note of this meeting here right now, and his heart will be greatly moved by whatever the Lord asks you to do. So tonight we're going to take this real seriously, because there's some work to be done, and he wants to do it in your life. So I'm going to pray for you right now and just ask the Holy Spirit what is right. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you. We recognize you as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Creator. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, we operate in your creation, and we are your created. And Lord, we live to serve you and honor you. And may you receive our offering now with the sincerity that we're offering it to you. And Lord, may you look favorably upon everyone here. Lord, we worship you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you need to make out a check, you can just make it out to either Spirit of God or SGMW. If you need to give your by credit card, you can raise your hand, and Kina in the purple shirt will come around and help you. No, I think we're going to show a... Aren't we?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody else with a credit card that needs their card ran? Raise your hand. Hallelujah.
No, you go ahead.
Father, we just thank you for everything you've done for us, everything you continue to do. We love you so much. And as we lift up this offering, let the seed that we sowed in here tonight be a fragrant offering to you, sir. Lord, we ask you to bless and multiply in the name of Jesus. We ask you to overfill the bread baskets, the storehouses, in the people that represent your kingdom and do your work by the Spirit. We ask you for overflow, overflow, overflow. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Lord, I just say, add this, sir. If they sowed tonight into Spirit of God Ministries, you gave us that name. We were trying to figure out the name, and you said Spirit of God Ministries, because that's our job. Is to be nobody and just let the Spirit of God do whatever he wants. And if they sowed into that, they sowed into you. Not us, you. They sowed into the glory. And I ask you that they won't just reap financial benefits. I ask you that they will reap the glory and the presence in their lives. That they will reap deep and abounding, abiding relationship with the Father. That they will so know the Father that they will know every time there's a little movement or a little shift in heaven, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this is going to be a little different. I thought we were going to do a full immersion, but the Lord, you know, we must obey the Lord. That's our job. So we're going to do a couple of different things. I've never done this before, but I'm going to now.
I guess.
No, not a fire tunnel.
So she's
no, but a good idea.
Go ahead, turn it off.
All right, now no laughing. No, that ensures everyone will laugh. So I'm going to ask you to just listen and sing what God gives you. Hey. Hey, join in if you get a song of the Spirit. Hey, hey, the Lord wants to teach you how to sing in Him. Make a new song of the Spirit. Bands are breaking off, bands are breaking off, bands are breaking off, bands are breaking off. Bands are breaking off, bands are breaking off. Hey, hey, what do you say? Long done a day, abone, tani, see, apadando, way, hey, atanane, way, yo, hananane, way, yo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you meet together and you're doing a little Bible study, you don't need a bunch of instruments. Right? All you just need is a little bit of chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Right?
That's right.